going through some things. These are a few words of wisdom. I was out in my truck looking at it. D.L. Moody said this, I never saw a useful Christian who was not a student of the Bible. There are 10 men who will fight for the Bible to everyone who will read it. Amen. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. George Washington. I entered a most earnest plea that in our hurry and rather bustling life of today, we do not lose the hold of our forefathers had on the Bible. I wish to see the Bible study as much of a matter of course in the secular college as the seminaries. No educated man can afford to be ignorant of the Bible. Amen. No uneducated man can afford to be ignorant of the Bible. Amen. Theodore Roosevelt said that. Our other books were written for our information. The Bible was given for our transformation. Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. The New Testament is the greatest book the world has ever known or ever will know. Charles Dickens. I've always said and always say that studious persons of secular volumes will make better citizens and better fathers and better husbands. Thomas Jefferson. The Bible is a book of comparison with which all others in my eyes are the minor importance, and all my perplexity and distress has never failed to give me light and strength. Robert E. Lee. Must everything in our age be prestige? Does the Bible have to be reduced to just plutonum? I refuse to believe that modern man who split the atom and is exploring space is unable to cope with the grandeur of the glory of the King James Version. Winston Churchill. I sought for the greatness of America in her harbors and rivers and fertile fields, in her mines and commerce. It was not there. Not until I went into the churches and heard their pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the greatness of her power. America is great because she is good, and is America ever ceased to be good? America will cease to be great. A French politician said that. In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room of divine protection. Our prayers serves were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instance of a superintending providence in our favor. And have we now forgotten that the powerful friend, or do we imagine we no longer need its assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of his truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is probable that an empire can rise without his aid. We have also been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Psalms 127:1. I firmly believe this, and also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no matter than the builders of Babel, Benjamin Franklin. On the appeal of President Washington's birthday for National Day of Prayer. If it cannot be emphasized too strongly, too often, that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not by religion, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, Patrick Henry. No science are better attested than this religion of the Bible, Isaac Newton. The deadliest books has survived three great dangers: negligence of its friends, the welfare of its enemies, and the false system built upon it. Isaac Taylor. The English Bible has been a great influence in the course of English literature than all other forces put together. It's impossible to read standard authors intelligently without knowing something about the Bible, for they all assume a familiarity with it on the point of their readers. To any young man or woman eaten with ambition to become a writer, I shall advise, first of all, know the Bible. William Lyons Phelps, a former professor of English literature at Yale University. We are indebted to the Book of Books for our national ideas and institutions. Their preservation rests and adhered to their precepts, Herbert Hoover. The destiny of America is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to all men everywhere, John Adams. That book, sir, is the rock on which we our republic stands, Andrew Jackson. Believe me, sir, never a night goes by. Believe me that I ever so tired, but I read the Word of God before I go to bed, Douglas MacArthur. I thoroughly believe in a university education for both men and women, but I believe a knowledge of the Bible without a college education is more valuable than a college education without the Bible. Amen. That's some words of wisdom. I had that in my paper. I've got stuff that I saved, but I've reading that thing. I thought, man, that's good stuff. Now, how many of you guys ready to preach tonight? How many guys, all right? All right, let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Joe, come on.
Stall for a minute. And my message is in a truck, and Brother Ken's going to go get it. Hopefully he won't steal my truck, huh? I just got a new used truck, and I just gave him the keys. I'm a little nervous. Amen. Huh? Yeah, right, the chicken man. Amen. I don't know if this thing's on or not. I don't even know how to turn this thing on. Amen. Thanks. Amen. You're going to have to go sit down. Okay? Well, he was up with me not too long ago. For the last two times I preached at my uncle's church, I did a Sunday school, and he fell asleep. There was a red velvet chair over here. Thank you, brother. And he fell asleep. His feet were in the air. He fell asleep on his Bible. The whole church was just staring at him, hardly listening to me. And then the second time I let him up on the platform was Sunday morning, last Sunday morning. And I'd be preaching, and I'm getting away, you know, going on with my points. And he'd come from behind the pulpit like this, and he'd start doing like this, and he'd point at everybody. And then he'd run back behind the pulpit. And my uncle, he was the pastor, he got laughing and laughing. He said, you got to have him sit down. He's stealing the thunder here, so he's got to sit down for a couple minutes. Amen. I'll go ahead and just give a quick testimony by way of introduction. The Lord's opened up a couple of doors for me. It's been a real blessing. The past 2 weeks or two different Sundays, my uncle has a church in Aston, thank you, brother, in Aston, Pennsylvania. And it's doing pretty good. It's about 150 folks or so on a Sunday morning there, and we had some good services and all. And I preached the message called The Shadow of Days, and I'm going to give you a different version of that this evening here. And so last Sunday, we had four people raise their hand for salvation. So that was a blessing to see the Lord give a little bit of fruit in that message. And it's a good ministry. There's a lot of preachers out there doing a lot of things. And thank God we're in a good Bible-believing church right here, right now. But don't forget, there's a lot of men out there doing a lot of things for the Lord. So that's a blessing. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Most importantly, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. For without that blood, Lord, we wouldn't be here tonight. And Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, for that blood, that you please would apply it, not only to myself, but to all the hearers this evening. And I pray, Lord, that you would comfort those that need it. Father, I know this message is going to hit home tonight because of some of the things and some of the folks' lives here. But I pray you'd uplift them, Father, and give them what they need to hear, Father, please. We love you, Lord. It's not me, it's you, and it's your word, and I pray that you'd bless it tonight, Father, by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15, the Bible says, "For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." I want to talk tonight just for a little while about that shadow. The Bible says that our days on this earth are as a shadow. You think about that. What are you saying? I'm saying the days are short. You could be looking at me for the last time, right? And I don't mean to hit a sore subject in this church. We know what I'm saying. That God is no respecter of person. He'll take out the best of us, and he'll take out the worst of us. That doesn't give you an excuse to live like hell. It doesn't give you an excuse to live how you want. I'm just saying that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. And throughout this message, it's going to go a couple of different ways, but I want you to examine your lives tonight. I want you to think about yourselves. And I want you to think about the shadow of days tonight. Turn your Bibles also to Psalms 144. Psalms 144. Amen. Psalms 144, as soon as I find it, right? How many preachers have done that? They say something, they get excited, and they're like, where am I at? I can't find it. Amen. Psalms 144, talking about this shadow of days. The Bible says in 144, verse 4 in the book of Psalms, man is like to what? Vanity. You can stop right there and preach all night right there on that subject alone.
That's right.
Vanity.
That's right.
You know, men are, they're vanity. They're vain. I'm not talking about the clothes you're wearing. I'm not going to get on the men for wearing a different colored shirt. I'm going to say, the Bible says that everything's vanity. Amen. Vanity of vanities. You know, why does the Bible say that? Because it wants you, the Bible, the Lord wants you to focus on him. That's why.
Amen.
Because at your very best state is vanity.
Amen.
The brother said it tonight. Without Jesus Christ, you're absolutely nothing.
Amen.
And that's what the Bible says. You know, and not only that, the Bible's picture of man is very negative. How about that time where Jesus, it said that he wouldn't commit himself to men, right? Jesus Christ knows what's in men's hearts. How about that? You go to lay down your head at night and think about what you did all day long. The Lord knows your heart. He knows those things you've looked at and didn't repent over. He knows those thoughts that come into your mind that you just kind of just let them linger and don't address them. You know what the Bible says a Christian's supposed to do? Cast down those things. Each and every infraction of the law, a Christian is supposed to deal with it. That's called a believer's self-judgment. I'll amen myself. Amen. That's right. Because you're guilty, and so am I. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says it's all vanities.
Amen.
Amen. But back to this thing here, it says his days in verse 4, Psalm 144, verse 4, his days, man's days, are as a what?
Shadow.
Shadow. You think about that. I mean, pastor's what? 60, right? Amen. I'm 42. You think about those days are just ticking away. These minutes are just ticking away.
Yeah.
1 second ago, it's gone. It never comes back.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Shadow of days. Yeah, why did the Lord only give us such a short time? Doesn't that bother you? Am I the only one that's ever thought about that? When I look at my kids and I think to myself, boy, I hope I make it to 60. You ever think? I know you thought that. I think the same way. Boy, I hope. But you know what? A saved person doesn't have to hope. He knows. He knows some things, and I thank God for that.
Amen.
You know what I know? I know where I'm going when I die. And I know I have a blessed hope. And I know how I'm getting there. I know who's taking me there. And I know what to expect when I get there.
Amen.
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 So you know what? The shadow of days is not depressing for a Christian.
Amen.
It's not. I'm looking forward to it. You know what I don't want? I don't want to think about my family when I die. I don't want to think about them being without a daddy. That kind of stuff bothers me. But as far as eternity and heaven and where I'm going, I don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about the shadow of days.
Amen.
You know, the Bible asks a question. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, we all know that verse, don't we? For what is your life? You know, you think about that. The Bible, the Lord asks a lot of questions in the Word of God, does he not? Everything's always a question, right? Amen. It starts out in Genesis. What happens? What, Adam messes up? What's debate with him? Eve messes up. It's Eve's fault, right? Irregardless, there was sin entered in, right? Adam was guilty. The Lord didn't go right to the woman, right? Men, who did God go to?
The man.
And you know what he did? He asked him a question. He says, Adam, where are you at? What are you doing, Adam? The Lord already knew. Why did he ask a question? Why did he ask a question? Amen. The Bible says, what is your life? And then God proceeds to tell you the answer. That's because you're too stupid. You can't figure it out, right? That's what it says. He'll ask you a question and he'll tell you what it is. Now, it's not that you're stupid. It's that you try to justify yourself. That's the issue. Because you know what Christians try to do? They try to justify themselves so they can keep sinning. That's the issue. Oh, I could just watch this, you know. No, you can't. I could just say this or look at this. No, you can't. I don't care if the Pope does it. I don't care if your preacher does it. The Lord tells you it's not right for you. Guess what? It's not right. Don't do it. Amen. It says it's even a vapor. What's it? Your life. It's but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it's what? It's gone, right? Gone. Life is precious. You know that? Yeah. I know the Payton family knows that.
Sure.
And I can say that without reserve because we know where Grandmom is, don't we?
Yeah.
We know where she is. And if you're saved tonight, I don't care what family you're in. If you're not in the family of God, guess what? You're not going to heaven.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Amen.
It's so simple a child can understand it.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, what is your life? Not only that, your days on this earth are numbered. Think about this statement. The average person has about 25,000 days to live. That's not much. It's not much at all. You know, think about it in relation to your vehicle, your car. How many of you have more than 25,000 miles on your car?
Amen.
And, yeah, I got a lot more than that myself, right? Amen. Think about that. You know, that engine turns over probably 10,000 times by the time you get to this door driving from the house. Think of your watch on your arm. Look how many seconds that thing ticks. And not only that, you know, on average, about two people every second die and step off in eternity. Every second. That's about how long a second is. Someone's dropping and dying every second, 24 hours a day, 365 days, never, ever stops. The Bible says that what's not satisfied, hell keeps what? Enlarging yourself. Doesn't it say that? You know what? The shadow of days is no respecter of person. He's coming for me. He's coming for you. The shadow of days. You say, you're depressing me. I'm not depressed. I'm not depressed one bit. You know, I'd rather have a little bit of negative truth in my life and actually, you know, have a head on my shoulders than to listen to Benny Hinn or somebody else or Oprah, right? Oprah Winfrey. Oprah. He's been saying that for years. Oprah, right? So what are you saying? I'm saying it's better to have the truth, the negative truth of the Bible, than to live in some fantasy land, you know, thinking that everything's just great. Everything's not great. It's not great out there. This world stinks. It's going to hell in a handbasket. And if you're saved, you know what you are? You're a little rose in a patch of weeds. That's what you are. Amen. And you know what? You're going to wither and you're going to die. You're going to die. Now, if you're saved, you know where you're going. But here's the thing. The shadow of days is coming, but each second that ticks away is, you should be thinking about your life and how you're living.
Amen.
I heard about one amen on that one, right? What's up with that? Aren't you living right? Are you trying to live right?
Yeah.
You should be saying, I'm trying to live right.
Yeah.
If you can't raise your hand and say, I'm trying to live right, then guess what? You need to fight some sins in your life.
Amen.
You need to get it under the blood. You need to get right. And then get off your knees forgiven and move on.
Amen.
That's the devil's greatest vehicle is depression.
Yep.
I'll amen myself. Amen.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you right now, the devil's greatest tool of his victory is depressing a Christian.
True.
Because a down and out Christian, he's saved, sure, but he's worthless.
True.
You're saying I'm worthless? Well, we're all worthless, but what I'm trying to say is when you're depressed and you're focusing on your problem or focusing on something that's bothering you, you are no use to God whatsoever.
Amen.
You're just going to sit on a bench. You're not going to open your mouth. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to read your Bible. You're not going to pray. You're worthless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people sit on the shelf worthless for 20, 40 years.
Yeah.
And then they die and stand before God. And guess what? The shadow of days overtakes them. And they have to give an account of their life.
Yeah.
This accountability thing is not just for a lost person. It's for a saved person as well.
Amen.
Think about that. The shadow of days is coming. Every second that passes, you'll never get it back.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. That's right. Amen. The shadow of days. I'll give you a quick illustration. I did a funeral in Pensacola, the only funeral I ever did and probably going to be the hardest one I ever did in my entire life. There was a boy that lived next to me in Pensacola, and I worked on it for almost 3 years, and finally he came to me of his own accord, and he said, Joe, I want to be saved. I about fell out the truck. I wasn't expecting it, so we prayed, and he received Christ. And I tried to give him the word, and I tried to be a help to him. I even brought him to church. I did what I was supposed to do, but he wouldn't listen. He went out and shacked up with this lost girl, and she ended up getting pregnant. He says, I want you to do my wedding. And I said, well, we'll see. We'll see. And then you know what he ended up asking me? I want you to do my baby's funeral. What a contrast. What a contrast. You know what that is? See, what are you saying? I'm saying the shadow of days. God's no respecter of person. The very first funeral I ever had to do and prepare for was a baby that we had to bury. And the coffin was this big. The kid didn't even, he was 6'5", didn't even own a suit. He had to borrow a suit. And I did a funeral. And I preached hard. and I preached the gospel. And I gave it to him straight. The baby's name was Nolan, and the whole pitch was, do you want to see Nolan again? That's my pitch.
Yeah.
I went straight to the point. I got flipped off. I got cursed at. You name it. I got it. I said, I must be doing something right. I must be doing something right. So if I got a bunch of hugs and attaboys from a bunch of lost people at a funeral, then I'm not telling them the truth. You see, I have nothing to fear because I'm going to see that kid again someday. They're not. So I got to preaching the whole thing, and I got tore up. And the very end of that thing, I watched him when everybody else left, his whole family left. I was there. I had my arm around the kid about crying, and I watched him bend down with these big old long arms, and he reached down, and he put that little coffin in the ground himself. And he got out, and he had dirt all over his, and he just stood there like a man. And I was thinking to myself, boy, you sure reap what you sow. I didn't dare say it, but I was thinking it. I was thinking of it. You say, did God take the baby because he wasn't living right? I'm not going to answer that, but it sure looked that way. Matter of fact, the night before that, I had my Bible. I went to her house. They wouldn't even let me in. It was pouring down rain. I had Exodus chapter 20 going through each one of the laws, and I'm trying to show this young lady. I'm trying to show her condition, where she's going. The shadow of days is coming after, and where are you going to go when you die? And I showed her in the Bible that you're a liar. All men are liars. I showed her in the Bible about the condition of the heart going through the Ten Commandments, and she was biting her nails and shook it up, but she would not get saved. Her mother, by the way, is the one that flipped me off and cussed me out the most. Boy, that's great, ain't it? The Bible has a verse about that, too. It talks about what? So is the daughter, right? How many know that verse? Nobody knows that verse? That verse is in the Bible. I saw one, right? Good, thank you. How's it go, right? Something about as the mother, so is the daughter. Yeah. Amen, that's right. You talk about your mamas, you better live right. Amen. Because your little girls are going to follow you. That is right. And it's not because I said it, because the Bible says it. It is right. Amen. Amen. A Christian is to remember Jesus Christ's death. That's the next point I want to make. You say, all this is so negative. No, well, the Lord Jesus Christ tells you that three times. In Luke chapter 22, in Matthew 26, in Mark 14. You know, our Lord's a character, right? He's got all of his disciples with him. He's getting ready to go to Calvary or Gethsemane. He's getting ready to cry out as drops of blood. He's going through agony and grief. And he's getting ready to give his life. And he tells all the disciples, this little piece of bread, I want you to eat it and think about my body. What would you think if I said that to you? You'd be like, what? You see this juice, I want you to drink it. This is my blood. That's not your blood. That's somebody talking about. They didn't get it. But you know what? After the cross, they sure got it. Not three times in the New Testament you're told to remember Christ's death.
Right.
Not only that, in 1 Corinthians 11, a Christian is told to remember.
Yeah, right.
That's called what? The Lord's Supper. There's two ordinances in the Bible the Christian's supposed to follow. Who can tell me what they are? Two ordinances. Baptism's one. What's the second one? The what? Lord's Supper. Exactly right. Thank you very much. You're told to remember that. Why does the Lord keep saying, remember, remember, remember? Because you forget. How easy is that? Because you forget. You know how easy it is to remember something when you got your work, you're thinking about your work, or your sick dog or sick kid. You're thinking about, although this world is designed to totally take you off track from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you don't realize the shadow's coming for you. You don't realize it. I said this already, two people every second. You're here 1 second, and you're gone. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Actually, I was talking to Pastor about this afternoon a little bit. In my Bible reading, this is where I'm at with David, and he's running from Saul. And he's running, and he's like in the king's favor and presence 1 minute, and then the king Saul's trying to throw a javelin and jam him up against the wall. He did that twice. He tried to kill him twice. So he's running, and look what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3. It says, and David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he said, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved, but truly, here's the statement, truly as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. David made that statement. David thought he was going to die right then and there. Twice the king's already tried to kill him. He didn't know what was going to happen. He goes and runs off with Samuel, and Guess what? The king Saul starts sending people after him. He's chasing them and chasing them and chasing them and chasing them, going to kill him. David said, as surely as I stand here, I'm going to die. He knows it. But you know what? 47 years later is when he actually died. But he didn't know that. And you don't know that. You don't know when you're going to take your last breath. So that's a sobering statement. You know what that means? You better treat every day like it's your last. You better live for the Lord. You better love your wife. You better love your kids.
Amen.
You better do right at work. You better think right. You better act right. You better do right. Because you might not have tomorrow. You just might. You say, that's depressing. I'm sorry. That's the Bible. That's truth. It's sobering. It's like when a drunk wakes up from a stupor and he's broke and his jaw's broke and he's out of money and he's hurting and he's laying in a gutter and he says, what am I doing? He just woke up from a slumber. You know, the problem today is that so many Christians are just in a slumber. They got cell phone itis and Facebook itis, and they're so sleeping with the world. They're so biblically dead, they don't know if they're coming or going. The biblical term for that is being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, the Bible teaching. So when you hear some Bible, you're so sucked up in this world, it doesn't sit right with you, and you get your feelings hurt, and you want to run out the door because you don't agree with something somebody said. You know what that is? That's a baby. You know what a baby does when he doesn't get his own way? I'm leaving. I'm taking my toys, and I'm running to my bedroom, and I'm slamming the door in your face. That's what a baby does. What's wrong with you? Why don't you grow up? In Pensacola one time, there was a guy I looked up to. His name was Brother Militello. Some of you know who he is in here. And I took him to a street preaching convention one time. I didn't know who the guy was. I just had a lot of zeal at that time, and I went and arranged the big street preaching convention in front of a Jehovah's Witness thing. Boy, what an amazing thing that was. We had about 20 of us out there preaching, and there's thousands of JWs from all over the state coming to this huge convention, and we were blasting them with the scripture. It was a blessing. It was a real blessing. Amen. Well, I said that for a reason. What did I say before that? I think I'm getting old timer. What was it? Oh, yeah. He said this. He said, we're driving there, right, to this convention. He's like, brother, he sucked me in, right? He got me. He said, I'm going to write a book. So I'm like, really? That's awesome. I love to read this thing. He said, yeah, it's going to have two words in it. It's going to say, grow up. You might get that later. I didn't get a lot of laughs out of that one. I was expecting some more out of that. It's that simple. Just grow up. Because when you're thinking about yourself, you cannot grow. And the shadows of days are just overtaking you, and you have no idea. Every day you're depressed and you sit around feeling sorry for yourself, that's just another day that's gone. That's useless for the Lord. Another day that you just can't do anything for the Lord. Another day you're going to have to give an accountability to. You've already done enough wrong in your life as a Christian, mind you. You already have enough things that you have to answer to. So you're going to let another day go by not being right with God?
Yeah.
I hope not. I sure hope not. Back to the shadow of days thing. Job asked a very important question. Look what the Bible says in Job chapter 14. Job sure went through it, didn't he?
Amen.
You think you're going through something, and I'm not making light of your heartaches, but think about Job's life and what he went through. I don't know how many people I've talked to on the street, and they know who Job is. So I'm just like Job. I try not to laugh at him and say, you're nothing like Job. You're absolutely nothing like Job. You have no idea what this guy went through. Look what the statement that Job actually said in Job 14, verse 4. Okay, it says 14:4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the what? Number of his months are with thee. Thou hast an appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. I draw your attention to the statement in the middle of verse 5. It says, the number of his months. You know your days are numbered. Your breaths are numbered. If the Lord says that the hairs of your head are numbered, and some of you ain't got very many hairs, right? But the Lord's got a number on them. Your days are numbered. Think about that. Your days are numbered. That's sobering. That I'd encourage you to actually try to live a little better. Some of you in here, you're going to hear this message. You're going to go home, and it's just not going to affect you.
Help the Lord.
Truthfully, think about it. I need help me. Yeah. I need help. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Where will you go when you die? You know what science says? Science says man may live again, Philosophy says he hopes to live again. Ethics say he ought to live again. Atheism says he will never live again. But Jesus Christ says he shall live again.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know what's written on George Washington's tombstone? Anybody here know that? We're a bunch of patriots, right, Brother Ken? What's written on George Washington's tombstone? One hand, anybody know? Do you know? You don't know?
No, I knew I forgot. Remember, I'm getting old.
You are getting old. Let's take a look at it. I'll help remind you here. Look at John chapter 11. Talking about the shadow of days thing. In John chapter 11, I need to travel out there and double check it's there, but I've read a bunch of sources, and this is what I'm told it says on George Washington's tombstone. Amen. Well, you can't remember anything, can you? I'm just teasing you. I love you. Here we go. John chapter 11, look at verse 25. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. You remember that? Amen. He that believeth in me, though he were what? Dead. Yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Boy, that's good news. I like that. That's a promise I'll take. I'll take that to the bank.
Yeah.
Amen. Matter of fact, I did. And I'm betting my soul won it. Amen.
Amen.
Believest thou this? Yes, I do. How about you?
Yeah.
Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Well, then why don't you act like it?
Yeah.
If you believe it, why don't you act like it?
Yeah.
Why is there so many Christians with one foot in the world and one foot in the Bible? Or I should say on the Bible because it's probably not in.
Yeah.
Right.
Why is that? Why is that? Now, I'm going to take a step further. And I'm gonna say this. Some of you in here, I've driven past you on the street, and I hear what's coming out of your car.
That's right.
It ain't Christian music.
Right.
You know what that is?
Amen.
That's a double-minded man.
Amen.
And the Bible has this to say about a double-minded man. It says you're unstable.
Right.
You know what something that's unstable is? It's gonna blow up.
Amen.
It ain't gonna work. Unstability does not work. Let me submit this to you tonight. Why don't you just get all the way in? Why don't you just say, you know what? I'm through with the world. I'm through with playing around a little bit. I'm going to be serious for God.
Amen.
I'm going to be serious, and I'm going to really give it 100% effort and watch what the Lord does.
Yeah, amen.
Just watch. Some of you in here has never even done that.
Right.
I know it. There's some young preachers in this church that's never done that.
Amen.
You say, well, it's dangerous ground. No, it's not. I'm trying to help you tonight.
Amen.
I'm trying to say, if you submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know what the Lord will do.
Amen.
Amen.
Have
you said, if you're called, how many people are called to preach? Men are called to preach. And I know there's some women. Keep your hands down. How many men here are called to preach, right? Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Put your hand down. 5, 6, 7, 8. Who else?
You got two behind you.
Why is it like this? Some of you here are kind of like, why is it like that? You either know or you don't. And you know the thing is, you don't have to be afraid.
Amen.
Because if God called you to do something, just step out and do it.
Right.
Just step out and do it.
Amen.
Amen. He will enable you. You know, Dr. Ruckman used to always teach us the man is the message. You know what that means? To me, that means this. If you're living right, if you're reading your Bible, and a preacher calls you up to preach, you should have no problem opening your mouth.
Amen.
You know where hesitation comes from? Sin.
Yes,
because your conscience is defiled and it's seared.
Amen.
And you hesitate. You half step. Now, maybe you're in sin or maybe you're just shy. Either way, it doesn't matter. If the Lord's called you to preach, guess what? You need to do it.
Amen.
It's not about you. It's about him. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I sound like. I mean, I don't want to sound like a total idiot. But the truth is, the foolishness of preaching is what? Amen. That's what the Lord glories in, that foolishness. Amen. So back to the subject here. That's what's on the graveside of George Washington. Now we know the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now think about that. We should know this, right? Death, is that positive or is that negative?
Negative.
Negative. It's not good for you. The outcome's not great, right? You die, you go where? You go in the ground or you get burned up, right?
Yeah.
I'm just being honest with you, right?
Yeah.
Burial, positive or negative?
Negative.
Negative. Thank you. You're at one participant. Thank you very much. Amen. Always count on Alex. I appreciate that. Here we go. Here's a good one. Resurrection.
Positive.
Amen. So what's that mean? That means 75%, two-thirds of the gospel is what? Negative. Negative. So if you're out there preaching the good news and Jesus loves you and just coming to Christ, that's all true, by the way. But you know what? That's not negative enough. It's not. The Bible says you're no good. The Bible says your best efforts are no good. You're going to fall short. Not only that, the Bible says this, that if you are not saved, you're going to burn in hell. A quick description of hell says where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. It never goes out. It's like putting a lighter on your arm and just holding it there forever. And it's just spreading and you're slowly burning. Your skin's melting off. You smell the hair. That's what hell's like. But I don't want to hear that because that sounds so negative. Ugh. It turns me off. I can't tell Jill at work that she's going to hell because she'll get mad at me and I might lose my promotion. Will they keep your mouth shut and do a good job and pray for an opening? But just quit half-stepping, will you? The Bible says that when you deal with God, you need to deal with him two ways. What are those two ways, Brother Eric? In spirit and in truth. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows your spirit. And the Lord knows whether you're being true or not. What are you saying, Brother Joe? I'm saying you got the shadow of days coming. I'm saying your days are numbered. The hairs of your head are numbered. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing half the time. Why don't you get serious for the Lord? You know what Faith Baptist would look like if it had even 75 members that were sold out for God, didn't get their feelings hurt, didn't have to have a position, didn't have to be recognized all the time. You know what, Pastor? Sometimes I think the pastor's got like a babysitting service. I knew I'd get an amen from Ken. I knew that was coming. He babysits chickens all the time, right? But I'm being serious. You know what? Today's modern pastor is like a babysitter. Because the average Christian today is just a baby. They've always got to be coddled and given a little bit of milk. And, Joe, I hope they don't get mad and leave. I don't want them to leave, and I don't want you to leave. I'm just saying Christians get their feelings hurt over the stupidest little things, and then they're gone. The devil's, I'll see you later, Dave, get out. The devil's done his job. Because you know what the devil wants to do? Depress you, and then the devil wants you to start getting mad at your brother. And the devil wants you to have dissension between your brother. And if the devil can do that, he's got control of a church. You know what the devil wants? Control of this church. And you know how he does it? By you letting him. Amen. I'll say that again. You know how the devil gets a foothold in this church? Because you let him. The Bible says a Christian's supposed to stand. Just stand. And resist the devil. You don't give in to the devil. You resist him. You dress right. You act right. You listen to the right music. You know what you do? You prune your thoughts. I'll say it again. You prune your thoughts. Like a tree, you know, want it to bear fruit, you got to prune it. You got to cut off those thoughts that's not supposed to be there. And the devil will have to flee because doesn't have a stronghold. Amen. There's some Christians in this church, the devil has got you by both hands. Just like this. You come into this church and everything, you're trying to do right, but you just can't seem to shake them. It is right. It's the truth. I can see it on your faces. I know some of you in here. The devil's got you. Why? Why is that? I can't answer that. That's up to you. The Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. When you deal with God, it ain't like, hey, you know, you and me, bro, we're cool, you know, and you and me, gee, I can do my thing and you can do it. That ain't the God of this Bible. That ain't no game. He's holy and he's righteous. He never sinned. He never fornicated. He never listened to country popping music. He never snorted a line of drugs. Jesus Christ is holy, he's righteous, and he's sinless. He's not like you or like me. You and Jesus ain't boys. You ain't boys. You know what you are? To put your head down and say, I'm sorry, Lord. Please help me to do right. Please help me, Lord, to think right. Please help me, Lord, to do right. You know, it's simple. But yet, who said it today? But yet it's hard. You know why it's hard? Because you're yielding your members to sin. That's why it's hard. If you're sold out and you're trying, it's a little easier. You know, when a runner wins his first race, the next race is not quite so hard. After that hurdler hits about three or four hurdlers and knocks them all down, you know what? The next time he gets it, oh, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. It's not so bad. That's like the Christian life. It's really not so bad. But first you have to get a victory. If you don't get a victory, you keep falling down. It's pretty bad. How come some Christians are down in a dump all the time and other Christians are on cloud nine?
And
the Christian on the dump wants to strangle the Christians on cloud nine.
Yeah.
You're laughing because it's true.
Yeah.
How many can you attest to that?
Yeah.
I'll raise both hands.
Yeah.
When I'm in a bad mood, I want to kill everybody.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Small.
Right, wrong, or otherwise, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
But it's not right.
Yeah.
It's not right. The Bible says the days are like a shadow and are coming to an end. You know what a Christian's job is? To live right. That's right. You know, you're walking in a valley of the shadow of death. What is that? Psalm 23, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm in the shadow of death, even though I know cancer's coming for some of us, even though I know I'm going to have to bury grandma, even though I know things are going to get bad, I walk in the shadow. What? The two things comfort them. What? They rod. What's a rod for? I ask my children. They'll tell you. Don't turn me into the government, but I'm going to tell you right now. If you correct your child with a rod, like the Bible says, they learn to fear their daddy, learn to fear God, and then you're setting them up for what? Salvation.
Amen.
For salvation. That's the Bible way, by the way. So by God disciplining you, guess what that does? That opens your heart for the truth.
Okay.
If God's not disciplining you when you're doing wrong, something is very, very, very wrong. You're either so far gone, God's take his hand off you for a while, or else you're not saved.
Right.
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
If you don't get convicted over sin, there's something very wrong.
Amen.
Very wrong. Very wrong. Shadow of days. You shouldn't. The saved person has a great advantage because you know where you're going when you die. And that's a blessing. A lost person has no idea. A lost person gets nervous and holds to the back of the pew when salvation is given. Excuse me. A lost person has no hope of assurance of where they're going when they die. A lost person is like a puppet on the string and the devil just dances them around at his own will to mess you up in your life. It's like bumper cars. You're on cloud nine, you're walking around as a Christian, all of a sudden, boom, you get nailed with another Christian that's not doing right. You know, I'm gonna say this. The biggest problem you're going to have in your life is from other Christians.
That's right.
It's not from a lost person. It's from other Christians.
Yeah. That's right.
And you know what they're going to do? Amen. They're going to mess you up.
That's right.
The worldly term is called guilty by association. You know what? If you're hanging out another Christian that's smoking dope, don't hang around them.
Yep.
If you're hanging around a Christian that's addicted to pornography, don't go over their house.
Yep.
It's that easy. Where no wood is, the what? The fire goeth out.
Yeah.
That fire of sin that you're feeding, young person, if you don't go there, guess what? The fire goes out.
Amen.
It's really simple.
Yeah.
It's in simple in theory. Then why do you keep going back to it?
Yeah.
You know what sin is like? You're like a slave to it.
Yeah.
It's like when sin's got a hold of you, you got to keep on going back to it. You just can't stop. It's like an addict wanting that needle. It just got to keep on moving towards it.
Yeah.
That's a shame, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's a shame, ain't it? Amen. Now, say a person knows where he's going when he dies. Do you know where you're going? You know there's church people that have no idea?
Yeah.
All across this land, there's hundreds of different churches. You walk into any church, and you walk up to the first person you see, and you ask them a question, where are you going to go when you die? I don't know. It's pretty sad, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's pretty sad. You can know today.
Perhaps
there's someone here that doesn't know for sure where they're going when you die. You know what? Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not just like, you know, well, you can get saved if you want to. The Bible says you must be saved. The Bible says you must be born again. It's not a question. It's a command. The Lord loved you enough to die for you and shed his blood. There's two things. If you're lost, you need to get saved. And if you're saved, you need to act like it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was pretty, went a whole lot of amens on that one.
Mom.
Went a whole lot of amens. Either everybody's doing right, this is a flop, or else you're backslidden. I'll give you three choices. You can blame me if you want. It's okay, I don't mind. You call this a flop. Or you can search your heart and say, you know what, I'm really backslidden.
Mom.
I am. There's something that's not right with me.
Yeah.
And I taught today that to my kids downstairs. I said, this is what I told the kids. I said, when you go to someone's house and there's a TV on, put a big question mark there. And you walk in there and you see something that you're not supposed to see. This is third and fourth graders.
Yeah.
And you know what happens? Whether it's a picture of something really wrong, whether it's just a cuss word, whether it's a pack of cigarettes, booze, whatever, you name it, you know where it goes? Into your mind, into your eyes. And from your eyes it goes where? If you don't deal with it very quickly, it does what? Comes out. My eye affected my what? Let's get to the heart of the matter. You know what? That's another word for your conscience. The Bible says that your conscience can be seared. You keep playing with sin, you keep being backslidden day by day and not truly getting right and repenting, your conscience gets seared like a steak. You know how you cook a good steak? You get the grill really hot and you throw it on there for just a minute on each side and it sears all that flavor right in there so nothing can get out. That's like your heart, some of you. It's when your heart gets seared, nothing comes out and you get what? Depressed. See how it works? That's really how it works. So the chances are if you're a depressed Christian because your heart's seared, your conscience ain't right, something's eating at you, you know it, and God knows it, but you're just sitting there not doing nothing about it. And you do it year after year after year after year. And some of these young people see you, some of you older ones, and they think, well, if that's Christianity, I'm just going to go live all I want.
That's right.
They ain't happy anyway. They got no true joy in their hearts. It's a sad state. The Bible says the church, I'm not saying Faith Baptist, I'm saying the saved body of believers in this age, it's in a great falling away. How many of you know that? I should see every hand in here up. The Bible says that every age ends in apostasy. You know what that means? That every age in the Bible ends up in a total mess. Everybody's not doing right. God usually comes down and wipes them out, judges them. The Bible says the church age is no different. You're living in an age where it's okay to be a man or a woman based on your feelings. What?
Amen.
Excuse me? It's okay to paint my fingernails and put on a dress and call me Shirley? That's cool and that's all right, but then tomorrow I could be Joe, right? I could be Bruce Jenner or whatever its name is, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then you know what? She's really miserable. It's really miserable. So it changes back how many... It's a mess. It's a mess. I work on multi-million dollar homes all the time. And you know what? They don't look happy to me. Money cannot buy happiness, but it helps. Right? You heard that before. Sure, it helps to have money. But you know what you do to get money? You kill yourself. And you go after it like a dog to vomit. You just, I got to make more money. I got to make more money. And then the Lord gives you an opportunity to make money. Then you got to question yourself, what am I doing here? What's really important? Then you go chase that almighty dollar, or do I trust Jesus Christ? That's a hard one. I'm not saying that's easy. That's tough. That's between you and the Lord. Amen. Closing statement. There's a tombstone in London that says this. It belongs to a Dr. John Condor. It says, I have sinned. I have trusted. I have repented. I have loved. I rest. That's good stuff. I shall rise. And through the grace of Christ, however unworthy, I shall reign. Boy, that's profound. That is profound. That was written in the 1800s probably, because today's writers can't write like that. They can't spell, they can't add, they can't even pull their pants up. They don't even know how to wear a belt. Come on. You know what? That's a man who died with grace. That's a man who died knowing where they're going when they die. And that's a man that really gave it a shot. You know, it's simple. This message is over now, and it's real simple. Are you really giving your best? Are you even trying to do 70%? If you had to gauge yourself tonight, altar's going to be open here in a minute. If you had to gauge your service tonight and your heart's condition at this moment, where would it be? 100%? 80%? 70%? 60%? Where would it be? There is no doubt that the Lord's hit something in your life on this message tonight. There's no doubt in my mind. I see it on some of your faces. God will meet you there. That's what I love about the Lord. Because he'll take a queer and he'll straighten them out. He'll take a druggie and he'll straighten them out. That's right, I said the word queer. It's okay. You don't have to get upset. The news media is not going to attack you. Take your kids away. The Bible word for it is what? If I said the Bible word for that, you know, some of you probably run out here and get mad at me. It's sodomite. I don't want my kids to hear that. I don't want my kids to hear that either. But that's the Bible word for it, and it's filthy and it's wicked. And our God is so good, he'll take somebody like that and he'll clean them up and he'll love them.
Amen.
Amen. Man, that's amazing. I don't want nothing to do with that person, but God will take him and clean him right up.
Right.
Amen. God, amen. Brother Ryan said this a while ago. That book is the human car wash.
Yeah.
It'll clean you right
amen.
Up. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
The invitation tonight is for you and your heart. Firstly, if there's someone here that's lost and doesn't know where they're going when they die, today is the day, tonight is the night, you need to make sure that you're saved. You need to make sure that you know that you know that you know where you're going when you die.
Yeah.
It's just simple. This is how easy it is. Here it is. Ask yourself this question. If I were to die tonight, where would I go? Any hesitation right there, you're probably lost.
Well,
I'm not trying to just get someone to pray real quick. I'm trying to get you to think.
Yeah.
And I got to really try hard to get you to think because our minds are like Swiss cheese with movies and TV and Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and all these other things I don't know about. All that stuff just makes your mind mush,
Yeah. Absolute
mush.
Right.
And if it ain't on a computer, you can't comprehend it. It's a sad state we're living in.
Yep.
So you know what you need? Preaching.
Yes,
you need to be drilled and drilled and drilled until you like wake up. Whoa, I get it now. I get it now. I'm a believer in this. I think it should be about 2 to 3 hours of straight preaching. Maybe a couple of different men. And then maybe at one time I sat in a service of 8 hours of preaching. 8 hours.
Well,
we had about 4 different people. By the third hour, my head was ready to explode. And I was trying to be right with God. Think about that. How many hours in a week? Anybody know? Somebody help me out. I know. How many?
168.
Thank you very much. 168 hours in a week. How many of those hours are you under preaching? Can anybody, come on, help me out here. Get your cell phones, all right, get your cell phones out, pull up the calculator, help me out here. Thank you. At the very most, maybe how many hours? Six? Probably not. Between singing and testimony, how many? Preaching, though. Maybe three. A week. 3 hours a week is going to wash out 160 whatever? No, it's not. For those of you that send your kids to public school, and I'm not picking on you, I'm just making a statement. You know the problem that parents have with your kids is they send them to public school, and there's how many hours in a week with public school, and then they think the 3 hours of church is going to wash out 100 hours of bad influences,
yeah,
of atheism and wickedness and women's bathrooms becoming men's and all that goofy garbage. They think the 3 hours, and then they get mad at their kids when they don't turn out right when they're investing 3 hours for Jesus Christ in their life and just hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Well, right. Amen.
And then they cry to pastor and call him 4 o'clock in the morning when the kid goes out and he's on drugs and he hits a tree because he's high out of his mind, when the problem starts at home. Men in here, you're the problem.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm guilty, and
yeah,
so are you.
Yeah.
The men, it's your problem. I'm not talking about public school and home school. I'm talking about investing time.
Amen.
Because the shadow of days has got a hook in your children.
Amen.
And dragging them. Your kids are being influenced by something. Now, what is it?
Yeah.
That's the truth. And I'm going to say this, and I may never get asked to preach again. But it's the truth. Cell phones. What is it with kids and cell phones?
Yeah, amen.
Why does a 6-year-old need internet access?
Amen. Yeah.
Can anybody, I mean, seriously, can I have one good reason why? Okay, I got to give my kid a cell phone because in public school. Okay, I'll buy that halfway.
Yeah.
I'll buy that. Google, Facebook, you're going to give your kids free access to filth,
yeah,
24 hours a day,
yeah, that's crazy,
and expect them to be okay?
Yeah.
And that's cool?
Yeah.
And then you want the preacher to preach to them when their mind's full of garbage and they're not getting it. And they look like they got a lobotomy sitting there staring at me because their head's so messed up. I'm trying to help you tonight. It is true, and it is good, and it's Bible. The Bible says, love not the world. The world says, buy your kid a cell phone, a laptop, a computer, a Nook, whatever. What else is there? There's like 10 other names for all these goofy gadgets, right? It shows you how out of date I am. The world says they need Google. Jesus says you need me. The world says go to Facebook and share. Like me on Facebook. Thumbs up. How about the book? How about you like the book?
Yeah.
Now, not only that, after you get your 10th thumb surgery from when you're a kid, after doing Facebook and going like this for 18 hours a day and staying up late and having bags on your eyes because you're Facebooking all mom, dad, and friends all night long, and you haven't read 10 verses in your Bible yet, and then you expect God to do a miracle in your life when you ain't doing what you're supposed to do in your life. People expect God to take 10 steps, but you won't take a half a step. That's a shame. That's a real shame. It is good preaching. It doesn't matter if it's coming from me or not. It's the truth. We're in a sad state, brethren. We are in a sad state. And the busier we get as a church, the more the truth slips by. I was talking to a preacher today over dinner. And we talked about this, that somebody in the ministry, even Michael Shane, some of you guys in the ministry takes you so far away from God, trying to serve so much that your personal time in Bible reading falls way away. Your prayer goes away. Your intimacy with God is on the second seat to the ministry. That's another trick from the Bible. I mean, from the devil. He'll try to get you doing right so far away from God you think you're doing right, and you're a mess. You're a mess. Amen. That is right. That's a blessing. That's right. It helps me. Amen. Now I'm about through here, and I know I've hit on a lot of different things. I know some of you are mad at me. I can see it in your faces. Pretty upset at me. Maybe I hit on some things that you, maybe I hit on your false idol tonight. I understand that. Maybe I hit on your false God. But you say, that's not a God. Really? Really, it's not a God? What do? You're bowing down to it. Bowing down to it. You know why your neck hurts? Because you're bent over looking at a TV screen or all day long. Amen. Amen. It is kind of sore. It's like I'm drawn to it. I can't stay away from it tonight. You say it's a hobby horse. No, it's not. No, it ain't. It ain't no hobby horse. It's a stumbling block. Amen. I'll amen myself. It's a stumbling block. And you're teaching your kids how to be practicing atheists. How's that sound? I deal with it with my kids in class. 4 years I've been dealing with them in class. And half of them are pulling out cell phones while I'm trying to teach the Bible to them. And they're on their cell phones while I'm, I said, put that away. It's not time for that now. Amen. How can I compete with that? How can God compete with that? It's not possible. It's a problem. It's a real problem. Now, if you want God to do something with your kids, you need to get them away from that stuff. Amen. If you want God to do something with you, you need to limit your social media time. I used to stick a lot harder of a stand on this stuff. I'm getting old and I'm getting soft, okay? You ready? Here's my retracted statement on TV and Facebook. You ready? You should limit your time to about half a second a day. It's better. I'm taking one step, right? It's still too much, right? Now, look. I'm not against Facebook. I'm against what it does to families. There's a missionary, a good friend of mine. It's a missionary. I'm not going to give you his name because it's not gossip hour. It's preaching hour. I got a friend of mine that I love that's a missionary, and you know what happened? His wife was on Facebook. And I'm sure it was all, you know, nonchalant. I'm sure it was okay. We were talking about the ministry, of course. We were talking about, you know, recipes, of course. But ended up talking to another man from church that wasn't her husband. In secret.
Yeah.
Anything you do on secret on your phone, you ask any one of my kids, including my wife, the passcode on my cell phone, and guess what they can do? What's my passcode, Jocelyn? It's okay. Jordan, what's... Thank you. She had no idea I was going to do that to her tonight. I'm going to change it tonight. Thank you for your hackers. But 5700... Right? I'm not having nothing. My uncle said this. He said, I got nothing to hide. What are you going to do? Find me talking about Jesus? Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. I ain't worried about the government. Let them come see my house. They're not going to find porn. They're not going to find drugs. They're going to find someone that's struggling that's trying to serve God. Maybe they'll get right or get encouraged or get mad. Because that's what some of you in here are going to do tonight. You're either going to get right, you're going to get encouraged, or you're going to get mad. It's just the truth. I'm trying to help you. You guys don't pay me. I can get away with saying stuff. Just kidding. But seriously, it's a problem. You know how many times you look at youth rallies and stuff, you know what we have to do as ministers to the youth? We have to go out away from the Bible and try to get into some kind of something to gather them, get their attention, go into social media, multimedia, make some super duper theme to try to get them all excited for God. When inside we haven't read our Bibles. When inside we haven't done nothing for the Lord. Our heart ain't right, but we're reaching and reaching. But I'll tell you the truth, 100 years ago, they never had to do that stuff. They never had to do that stuff. You know what they were? Real men of God, and they attracted other men.
Amen.
You know what a real man does? He attracts other men. I'm talking about queer stuff here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Talks about the continence of your face, of your heart. It says like this, glass, right? What's that verse say? Help me out. What is it? That's right. It's transparent. That's what I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be transparent. And that's what I love about Pastor Ryan is he's transparent.
Amen.
He don't pull any punches. If he feels like saying something goofy about a horse and a woman on her back, he'll go ahead and say it. Amen. But here now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say this. You know why he does that stuff? Because when you get laughing and get up, you know what you're doing? You're letting your guard down. The wall comes down a little bit. He gets you laughing and then nails you with some scripture.
Amen.
That's wisdom.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Amen.
I try to do the same thing. I try to get you laughing. I try to get you stirring, get something going, because it's like kicking a bunch of dead batteries. No matter what I do, you ain't going to move. Some of you is in here look like you're constipated. I mean, seriously, I'm just being honest. We say that term loosely, but it's true. Some of you are really intense. Some of you are laughing. Some of you are just like this. You look like my daughter when I take away her cell phone, right? She don't have no cell phone. You know, they did a study where they put a bunch of teenagers in a room and hooked up wires to their heads, and they all had cell phones, right? They were connected to all this junk, and the scientist walks in there and takes all the cell phones away, and they all about had a conniption fit and died. I've heard stories of parents, I asked one of the kids tonight in my class, I said, what's one of the worst punishments? And they said, take my cell phone away. That's right. I'm not picking on you. I love you. I'm not trying to get nobody upset. I'm just saying that I'm not picking on you. You know who said it. That's okay, but you're not alone. There's lots of kids that are like that in class. And I'm not picking on you. Please get me right. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to say it's a real problem. All right, since I'm on it, here we go. Here's another one. Since I'm doing so well, I might as well go all the way. And this is going to hurt a few people, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Is this my last time preaching at Faith Baptist Church, probably? Kick that dog, right? All right, we're out street preaching last year, and we're trying to get people to come street preaching. And by the way, the devil's been fighting on that thing hard. There's some dissension right now, and the devil's been messing some things up a little bit. But I'll tell you what, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to go out there and hold a sign and try to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. So we're trying to encourage people. And you know what? There's a couple of Christians in this church, instead of coming to street preaching, the same time, they're across the street chasing Pokemon around on a cell phone. Grown men. I'm not naming names. The Lord knows it. I hope you repented by now. Not only am I not into cell phones, I'm definitely not into Pokemon. All right? No Pokemon. I'm sorry, Brother Dave. Pokemon is dead. Oh, just out having a good time. I understand that, but something's wrong. Something's wrong when a bunch of grown men got to run around chasing Pokemon. Something's wrong. There's something wrong. I don't know what it is, but I know what it ain't. How's that sound? I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but maybe that's what the Lord wanted. Maybe that's what the Lord wanted. Because if this is the last time I ever opened my mouth for Jesus Christ, I can tell you one thing. I want to tell you the truth. Your days are as a shadow. Your time is limited. What are you going to do with it? The ball's in your court. You got to give an account of your life to Jesus Christ. The one that shed his blood on the tree, on Calvary's tree. The one that saved you when you didn't deserve being saved. The one that still loves you and cares about you even though you think about what you think about. Amen. I'll amen myself. When you mess up and do something you ain't supposed to do that you promised God you wouldn't do, whatever it might be, we all have them.
Yeah.
Every dog has enough fleas just to let you know you're still a dog.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Right. Myself. Yeah, amen. Right. Now look, You have an opportunity right now for the next few minutes to get something right. Okay? It's up to you. You say, well, I don't like that preacher. I don't care if you like this preacher. I don't care if you like me. Do you like the Lord?
Amen.
Do you like the truth? Do you want God to bless your family? You want God to help you? If I had a checkbook with $1 million and I said, guess what? If you come on up here, I'll give you $1,000. This whole row would be up here tackling me, right?
Yeah.
If I had $2 million to give my brother-in-law to pay his bills off completely, he would come up here and take it.
Yeah, I'd even hug you.
You might even hug me, right? There's something so much better than that, but yet you won't budge.
Right. Right.
Spiritually speaking, that peace that you can have, but you won't move. Why is that? Oh, you hurt my feelings. Is that what your feelings are, what's really important? This ain't about me. This ain't about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And that's where you missed the boat. If you got offended tonight, it's because you're not right with God. That's just the plain and simple. You know what? What would Jesus do? Okay. Let's pretend Jesus was here, and he is here spiritually. I know that. But if he was to bust in them doors, and the Son of God was to stand before you, I want you to ask him this question. Is Facebook okay with you? What do you think he would say? Take a wild guess. He flipped the tables over in the temple for a whole lot less. How about it, Lord? Is it okay that I spend 8 hours a day on my cell phone over the course of 24? Is that okay with you, Lord? He's not even going to answer you. He's just going to look at you. Are you kidding me?
Amen.
You kidding me? The martyrs died and were hung and bled just for the King James Bible, and you're glued to a screen all day long? What's wrong with you? We're all guilty of it. It's an addiction. Here we go. It's an addiction.
Yeah.
It's an addiction.
Yeah.
But now, I don't care if you're looking for a truck. I don't care if you're looking for a new house. I don't care if you're looking for a new job. I don't care if you need some weird part in China on your mixer that was made in 1920. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on, it's like it's become a god. All of your time, all of your money, all of your effort is in the website. How many people have an iPhone in here? I got one. Yeah, you know what's funny? I realize doctrinally this might be a little bit strange, but bear with me for a second. What's on the front side, the back side of that thing?
Apple.
A what?
Apple.
And what's missing?
One bite.
Isn't that something? You ever think about that? The iPhone, the seven I wills, right? What's that in Isaiah? Talks about I will ascend above the throne of the Most High. I will. The devil said that. So you got the iPhone, and then you got an apple. Now, most Christians will say that was the fruit that Eve ate, wouldn't they? Now, it's probably a grape, but for the sake of an argument, it's an apple, and it has a bite out of it. Who caused that? The devil. You got an iPhone with an apple missing. That's kind of strange, isn't it? Sometimes I think the Lord will just kind of leave a little trace of stuff out there, and if you got half a mind or if you're in your Bible halfway, you can pick it up. You can pick that stuff up. Isn't that crazy? You say, well, that's okay. I got a new Google phone. I'm going to tell you this. I better not say this, but you know what happens if you misspell Google? Pornography comes up like that. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you, you could be right with God, and if you're a man in here, you have a struggle with the other sex. And it should be a woman, by the way. You never know. I got to clarify myself today. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, if you're a man, you should be attracted to a female. Okay, boys and girls, but listen, if you're not attracted to a female and you're a male, you really got to get some things right.
Yeah.
Right. Enough on that, right?
Yeah.
Amen. We're in a mess, aren't we, brother?
Yeah.
We're in a real mess. To get up and talk about this and preach, I'm thinking to myself, why am I even saying this? Just like you're probably thinking, why is he saying this? Because most preachers won't. They just want your money. They just want you to be happy. I'm not saying that about our preacher. He's got a great balance. I'm not saying that one bit. I'd say that whether he's here or not. He knows it. I'm just saying we live in some dark times, and the Bible calls it a shadow of days. It's a shadow. How about when you're driving at nighttime and you got your cell phone on and you're surfing and looking at stuff? Guess what? You got to turn that screen because it puts a shadow out, and cops can see that a mile away. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I do. I do it too, Brother Dave. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm guilty of it. I'm preaching to myself here. It's the truth. The Bible says a shadow of days. Now, what are you going to do with it? Take it or leave it, right? Good preaching. Good job, brother. Don't tell me that tonight. I don't want to hear that. I don't want a pat on the back tonight. I'm not being a jerk. I'm not being facetious. You know what I want? I want to see God do business with you. I want to see you really make a commitment with the Lord. That would bring me a tear of joy. I don't need a good message, Brother Joe. I need to see you do something. I need to see you get off your seats and do something. Make a commitment to Jesus Christ. Lord, I know I have a problem with this, God. Please help me, Lord. Lord, here you go. Here's how you should pray. Ready? Lord, I have a problem with, name it to yourself and the Lord. Lord, here's an example. I don't have a problem with this. Here's an example. Lord, I have a problem with cigarettes. I'm not saying I do. I said it's an example. If I did, I would say this. No matter what it was, I would say, Lord, I have a problem with, please help me to hate it.
Yep.
Because the truth is, Lord, you know that I love it. And I can't wait to do it again. Lord, truth is right now, if I had my way, I would do it instead of talking to you. God likes that. God likes it when you deal with him as a man. Amen. Gird up your loins. That's the Lord's telling his prophet that. He's saying, I want you to deal with me as a man, as a woman, in truth. You should deal with God and be open and honest. Say, I have a problem, Lord. You know what it is. I messed up again. And I need help. Lord, why don't you give me the faith to believe I'm not going to do it again because I know I am. Lord, help me to hate it because it comes between our relationship. Please help me not to be in the shadows, Lord. Please help me, Lord, to be in the light. I'm going to say this as a preacher, as a young preacher, maybe someday a pastor in another land. I'm going to say this. When I'm not right with God, I can't preach with a clear conviction. I'm telling you the truth, guys. I'm being honest with you. You say, sometimes you're not right. That's right. A lot of times I'm not right with God. And I got to get right with God. And so do you. Get right with God. Amen. If you were to die tonight, I hope you don't. I really don't. But somebody is somewhere. Remember what I said. Every second, somebody's dropping like a fly. Every once in a while, it'll come and kind of get close to the church, take a few people out, and then it'll go away for a while. And then it'll come back, a few more people die, and then it'll go away for a while. It's like the Grim Reaper. You ever see the character of the Grim Reaper? You know what the shadow of death is like? It's always with you. Here's how it works. I take one step forward. The shadow takes one step forward. The shadow takes one step towards me. I take one step back. And one day I'm walking along. I walk right in the shadow, and I'm gone. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm just trying to tell you how it works. The Lord's no respecter of persons. Your day is coming. But until that day, Christian, how are you living? And what are you doing? And better than that is, what do you want to do, and what will you do about it? That's it. That's right. That's it. It's that simple. Let's pray. Let's stand for prayer.